Carl, I guess we are all disturbed that young Americans who have been afforded the golden opportunity of America, just in the fact that they have citizenship here, have chosen to train and kill and fight with ISIS against their country of birth or even their adopted country. I cannot understand it. It makes no sense unless they are the useless detritus of our society that believes that they are entitled to take because they have neither the ability nor the inclination to work hard and earn a civilized place in our society. There will always be the sycophants and the bullies. Remember the Nazis. There will always be the disillusioned, the cruel, and the emotional dregs of civilization. They are the takers. Primitive societies have always had no respect for the lives of their perceived enemies, and they kill with glee, and nothing has changed today with ISIS. They're megalomaniacs, elites, the blindly religious, all are deranged, take and kill. So what do we do? You know, some say strike early and hard. Some say wait and see. My gentleness does not want to change. But my mind says we've waited too long in the past. So as not to do that now, what's going to happen? And for me, Carl, it's darn hard choice.
Well, I have no problem with the choice at all, and I'm going to tell you why. And now my history teachers are getting ready. They're getting ready. They've got their on their keyboards, and they're ready to call. I believe it was Marcus Aurelius, and we talked about this before we came on, who was the ruler of Rome before the Romans' legions left to go to the Palestine during the revolution of that part of the world and their empire. He basically said, kill them all. And now, I say that because I've often said on this program that war is a game of fools. Byron's statement, war is a game of fools. There are never any winners in war. There's never any winners in people killing people. Doesn't work. There is just no winners. Everyone loses, those who kill and those who are killed. Everyone loses. However, what we must demonstrate to the world, at least for this next half a century, because we've gone through another half a century when we left the Nazis in their wake in 1945, and approximately another, it seems to come every half a century or so, this group of psychological killers, these psychopaths, and they are a group of them, who are literally running a nation in the middle of two countries, and they have to be eliminated from the planet. Now they're using the words destroy, and I realize many, and I know you want to jump in on this, but I want to finish my thought here. I know many innocent people are going to die, but we must eliminate this cancer from society. Now, is it? And someone once said, and it was in, one of the, I shouldn't say once said, just recently said, one of the spokesmen, I think, for the DOD, Department of Defense, that American military is not going to be the answer. And in many respects, it's not. But we sure as hell have already gotten their attention, and we're going to kill them all. We must, to survive as a civilized society, because otherwise this cancer will grow. And it will spread up into the Kurdistans and into the stands of Russia. It'll spread out into Iran and into Afghanistan, and we're going to have a major problem on our
hands. I'm not so sure that the metaphor of a cancer, as you would use it in a medical configuration, yes, you want to eliminate a cancer in the body to make sure that it doesn't come back and doesn't kill you. But at the same time, I'm not so sure another's ideology is, in fact, a cancer. It is certainly a right of their belief, not one that we agree with and one that we could accept and one that we will even tolerate. But I have a lot of trouble with kill them all.
I know you do. But you see, we live in
innocence in there.
Yes, I understand that. Well, we live in a world where they have now crossed what we call the international borders between two sovereign nations. Both nations, members of the United Nations, a group of our peers in the world, saying these are our borders. You will respect that. They respect none of that. They have slaughtered Shiites at will.
I understand that,
and
it's wrong, and they will pay for that. But the point is, how do you justify not killing those who killed? That I can understand. That's a consequence of one's action. But there's always the innocent that are involved.
Correct.
With any kind of war and bombing.
For you, you and I both did the Vietnam experience. You mentioned a number of times on this broadcast. We've been there. We saw it. I saw it firsthand. So did you. Okay. That was a war that no one understood, even those that were fighting it. We had no idea what the heck was going on, and neither did MACV or anybody else. It was just what we call a mess. This is very clear. This is a very clear, distinct challenge to civilized society. Now, I realize the results, the remedy for this is not a pleasant one. Frankly, again, I use the phrase, Byron, war is a game of fools. There are never any winners. But if we do not excise this cancer, it is going to consume a greater part of the world, and it will come to this country. We must protect that. We have no choice. They have given us no choice. They will not stop. And so if they will not stop, we must excise them. And the Romans were correct. Carthage was laid to waste, and they put salt across the grounds. Correct? No. It cost the Romans their empire, but it cost them their empire 500 years later. We must exist. The democratic world must continue to survive. We have to be barbaric, as we were, by the way, in World War II. It was called the atom bomb, okay? And we killed a lot of innocents in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. But it ended the war so that a million men and women would not die.
You make a very valid argument, and one that I'm not trying to refute it.
I know you're not.
All I'm offering is a discussion point.
I wish I had a better answer.
Maybe there are other alternatives. If there are not other alternatives, and the ISIS thugs have proven their inability to understand the humanity to man, particularly with the execution of the two journalists, the beheading execution, and then putting that on the internet. I mean, that is unconscionably
but think,
cruel.
Think of what they've done that we haven't seen.
True.
And also, what angers me as much as anything else is that we have got to be reduced to our lowest element because of them. Okay? And that is an anger to me, because this is supposed to be civilized society. There are, I think of terms like jurisdiction and courts of law and all of that. This is a language they do not even want to even discuss. As they've said, their leader, whose name I cannot remember at the moment, I don't think it really matters, we listen to no one. We pay attention to no one. We abide by no laws except our laws.
Well, that's tribal. That's not nationalistic.
No, absolutely not. But that tribal inference is now spread across two international borders, and it could easily spread into three, and that's why Iran and Saudi Arabia are very concerned. They should be.
Well, you know, as we talk, this is recorded just a few hours prior to its airing. The NATO meeting in Wales is going on, and that's going to be a very, very momentous decision for whatever they decide to do.
Correct.
And I doubt very much if we will know what they choose to do within the next 48 hours, but who knows?
I think, Roland, that this is a discussion that you and I have had, and I struggle with this. I struggle with it because of the war is a game of fools statement, and it is a game of fools, and there are never any winners, never, ever. And in all of recorded history, wars have brought nothing but misery and sorrow to the victor and those that are vanquished. And that is consistent through history. Who wins, loses. Who loses, wins. And the name of the game right now for us is to survive in a new world, in a new environment.
I wonder if there is a collective power where if everyone on this earth that does not like war, and you don't like war, and
no,
I don't like war, nobody likes war. Because
you and I have been in war.
Well, indeed.
That's why we don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not a nice place to be.
If you are a promoter of war simply for the greed aspect of making money, then, you know, I think you're the lowest of the low.
But well, anyway. By the way, to make a point of that, they stole from the Mosul banks, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, in northern Iraq, $400 million, most of it U.S. currency, in those banks now with ISIS, okay? So it's not just the ideology, since there is none. It's simple greed, and now that money is in their hands. And they're not going to play Mahjong with it. We must go. Thank you, Roland, for your thoughts.
Well, indeed, Carl, I agree with you. And I think this is a discussion point that I'd like to bring up again and bring in a couple of other experts to help us understand it.
Let us do it. Smith Sabatino, we're back.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. It's going back to school time. Do you and your child have a secret code word? Well, it's essential for their safety. Here's the developmental science of it. Childhood safety in difficult times, it's just a topic we can't discuss enough. So here's a common sense technique which will help you keep your child safe. It's a secret code word. An everyday word that means something to your child. A word like ketchup or Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's a secret word that only you and your child share. And here's how to use it. Let's say there's an emergency and you must send someone to pick your child up at school. Instruct your child that before they go with them, they must know the code word. What's the cheap psychological trick? Never give a child snatcher an even break. Got a parenting question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. While Julie was on vacation, her purse was stolen when she was taking a dip on the beach. She promptly informed her hotel that with her wallet missing, she was temporarily unable to pay her bill. The next thing she knew, her suitcase, toiletries, and clothes were confiscated. Can a hotel really take all your stuff? The final verdict after this.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780. That's 877-219-8780.
In the eyes of the law, a hotel has a lien on your property until all charges are paid. They can really take everything from your room if you don't pay your bill. And that's the final verdict.